23 minutes until the top of the hour. If you're thinking about leaving the church you're going to, you might want to consider a few things before you do that. If you are looking for a new church, there might be some good questions you're going to want to ask. We started this conversation yesterday, and we had a number of people join in on the conversation, and we want to continue it today. So if you want to speak words of encouragement or truth, or you have a legitimate concern about churches today and why you might be leaving yours, or why you are looking for a new church, and maybe you're new in town, you need to find a place to go, and you need to ask all the right questions. And there's legitimate reasons to be leaving a church if you're in one now, if it's become unbiblical or the leadership has gone away. But you have to be, you should be thoughtful and prayerful about this. And there's things you want to consider before you make the leap. We're going to have a discussion this morning with Pastor Andy Veith from Bethel Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show. We had a chat with you a while back, last spring, and we loved when you were on the show. So we thought, let's call Andy again. Tell our listeners a little bit about your church, its size, and all of that.
Sure. Yeah, we're a Bethel Church in Fargo. We're Evangelical Free Church. We're probably 1,600 in average attendance on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a great community. It's a wonderful church. I've been at this church for just almost exactly 1 year.
Nice. Well, let's talk a little bit about the right and wrong reasons why you might leave a church. Obviously, we started this discussion yesterday, and things like the leadership is not leading or it's become unbiblical. Those are the first two things that popped into our heads.
Yeah. You know, the other day was Amazon Prime Day, and of course, you know, so many people got online and bought extra things we don't need and that sort of thing. And it just kind of reminded me of this consumer mentality. And I'm guilty. I bought things and I thought, yeah, do I really need that? But I think that mentality is kind of what's crept into the church, so to speak. And, you know, what we're really talking about isn't should I leave the one church and go to we're talking about a location. We're talking about a new expression of worship or a community to worship with. You know, when we say leave the church, obviously the church is not a building, but we often associate the building as the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a change of location. In all honesty, it's usually preference driven. What do I like? What don't I like? And that sort of thing. So when we talk about, you know, when not to leave a church, it's usually when we're using the wrong scorecard.
Mm, interesting.
You know, we've got a scorecard. Yeah. We don't have Starbucks coffee, but they do. So I'm going to leave and I'm going to go there because I like Starbucks coffee.
You got a point there.
you know, and that's, they sound silly, but sometimes, when you dig deeper and you find out, wow, you really left because of that, or they don't use my Bible translation. And I went to them and I asked the leadership, can you switch to my Bible translation? So I don't have to go get a new Bible or, you know, I just discovered that our church allows both political parties. So I'm going to have to go find a new church. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to go find a new church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I hear, like, you know, they didn't sing Good Father every week, and that's my favorite song. So I got to go find a new church where they sing Good Father every week.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I think, too, we're kind of in a, this celebrity mode, my pastor's not a celebrity, so I'm going to go find a church where the pastor's really well-known, and, he's a celebrity pastor, so to speak. Or they got great worship over there. I'm going over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happens is, it's kind of the old saying, if we're not careful, we kind of get focused on our tree in the forest, and we camp there, and we lose sight of the forest, of the whole church and what God's up to and that sort of thing. And so we get on this, our preference horse, so to speak, and we ride to a new place of worship. And we've just kind of transferred the things that we do in shopping or restaurants or those sorts of things into the church and say, we just kind of, it's easy to hop around and just go to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Andy, how are you navigating through the hot social topics that are invading our culture that are now creeping into the discourse in churches?
You know, I don't tend to say, okay, here's all the hot topics. Let's talk about, hot topic this week or next week and that sort of thing. I like to drip those things in and leak those things into messages as we're going through Scripture. And of course they show up pretty easily in Scripture, as we're just looking at a particular passage. And I think it's important to navigate. I think it's important to address those things. And of course, there's some things we cover in church and some things we don't, mm-hmm. Because they can be very divisive as well.
Oh, so Andy, in your opinion, are people ever coming to church saying, I'm here because I want to be discipled?
I think some people are.
Okay, good.
Some people I think some people who realize, what is the church? Why am I coming to church? We've gone through this, I think back into the 80s and 90s, and right into the day as well, that I think churches have come up with, these different models, seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive, seeker-driven kind of strategies and methodologies of here's how we're going to reach the unbelieving culture that's around us. And so you see some churches that will build their entire worship services and programming around those models. Of course, there's pros and cons to those. They can be intentional and deliberate, but they're also very narrowly focused. And so what happens is over time is you see some churches then that have put all their eggs in one basket, so to speak, and then they realize, wow, we're not really discipling people, and we've missed that element of what God has called us to do. And so we're in a culture where I think there's some people who realize what it means to be discipled. And so when they come into a church, whether they've had a job transfer or what have you, and they're coming into a new church, I think they do come with this mentality of, I want to be discipled because I want to be a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's encouraging.
They come with that hunger and that passion.
Yeah, I love that. Because I was just thinking in contrast to the consumer mentality that we started this conversation off with.
Yeah.
A lot of people are looking at churches going, what's in it for me?
Absolutely.
And I think at some level we show up and roll up our sleeves and say, how can I work and how can I serve in this community?
Right, because this is my church, and I want to have ownership in it. I want to partner with this body, and I know what the church is called to do biblically, and that's the right mentality. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you have a question or a comment for Pastor Andy Beath, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. As we discuss the right and wrong reasons to maybe leave a church, you have an input or a question, give us a call. We'll take a short break. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. So glad you're with us today. Minutes until the top of the hour. I'm talking to Pastor Andy Beath from Bethel Church in Fargo, North Dakota. We're talking about reasons you might leave a church or why, what you're looking for if you're shopping for a new church. And Andy, I got to be honest, there's a lot of people out there that say, you talk about celebrity pastor. Well, there's plenty of celebrity pastors on the internet. I can just go listen to a really awesome sermon on a podcast that I like. And that way I don't have to struggle with getting up on Sunday and going to church and getting to church and not having Starbucks coffee and then having to deal with those messy things called, what are they called, people.
Yeah, sheep. Yeah, right.
Yeah, sheep. Yeah, exactly. You know how dumb they can be, right?
Yeah, aren't we all, yes.
Well, the bigger question, would be how important is it to be in community?
Yeah, and I think that's the key right there. I remember just about a week ago, honestly, we were having this conversation as a pastoral staff, and our youth pastor was kind of speaking into this. He's kind of in that age group, the millennial age group, and he was saying, And it's true for any of us that have any technology abilities. We can, like you said, we can go on and we can find the top most well-known speakers and pastors, and we can just do church in the car or mm-hmm. in our office or what have you. And you know, that's all great. I remember probably 20 years ago when the podcast and everything was all taken off, and there was this almost this concern and fear of, are we even going to need pastors? Will there even be churches in 20 years? You know, because the top speakers are going to take over the world, so to speak. And and so our you know, well, we just play their messages at church. And so our youth pastor was saying, you know, it's great to be able to go on and find, you know, certain celebrity pastors and listen to them because there's some great teachers. He says, but what I would miss is, you know, hearing Andy Veith at my church, who is immersed in the culture of Bethel Church, and every message he gives, you know, has to do with the mission and vision and the community of Bethel Church. And I wouldn't want to miss that because in our case, Bethel Church is my home. These are my people. This is my community that I do life with. And so there is that aspect of we would miss that and we would lose that.
Mm-hmm. It seems that there's a lot of people, and when you talk about a younger crowd, I know the millennials in particular have found ways to not go to church, or they have been less inclined. They've gotten more justice oriented. They want to get out and do something, which I admire that, but they're missing out on a lot of what we just talked about, the good and the bad of being in a community. And that's really what shapes a person's biblical life and community.
Right. And I think that there are some things that the church can learn from the, we'll just say millennials, you know, that age group. And I think that their voice and the things that the concerns that they're raising, I think some of them are legitimate. The difficulty and the concern is that we don't sway completely to the other end of the spectrum. And I was the youth pastor here at Bethel in the late 90s, and I left to go plant a church in Des Moines, Iowa. And I was down there for 16 years, and I planted a church. And there was a season in our church when the buzzword missional kind of, you know, came about. And we had some people in our church that all of a sudden kind of caught this missional bug, and we want to become all missional. So let's swing clear to the other side, and let's just have a cause. Let's, you know, let's be missional. And I agree with that, but we have to do it in balance of, you know, community and church and body life and teaching. Being missional and on mission with God is one aspect of the church, and we're called to do that. And I think where the millennials are right is that we have abandoned some of that, and we've become so internally focused, and we've turned in so much that they're calling us, and they're calling us out, and they're saying, you're not being the church, you're not being the hands and the feet of Jesus, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So, Andy, what do you think about churches that want to have multiple campuses, and they do the video screens, and so the pastor's live in one location, but they're transmitting in other locations? Is that a good model, and is that going to be, are we going to sustain that model and grow that model, or is that going to change?
Well, I think the model works in some places and not in other places, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the context, the people that live there, and it has to do with the size of the city, and those sorts of things. I mean, they'll say people will drive, you know, 30, 45 minutes to a church that they feel connected to, and it's their body, and these are my people kind of thing. And so, you know, people will drive to that. But what we're finding is it does work in some contexts. And mm-hmm. I think it depends on what's driving it. You know, if we say all of a sudden we're going to have a satellite church, we're going to have another campus, is that being driven by because we want to be successful or known for that? Or is our motive truly that we want to reach more people for Christ and there's not an evangelical Bible-believing church in that area? And so God is calling us to that area to reach, you know, into that culture, into into those people's lives and reach them for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the motive behind it. So it's working well in mm-hmm. some contexts. And I think with the, again, with the technology changes and what people are willing to do and put up with, I think that can be sustainable. They did a study once where they were at a conference and they had, you know, people were complaining, we would never do that, our church would never do that. And as they watch, and I see this at our church, we have two huge screens on both sides, and I'm standing in the middle. And literally, there'll be people sitting in the first, second row, and they're looking up at the screen. And I think that part of it is that we've been so conditioned, you know, because of TV. And so I think it's become more accepted that, hey, I can go watch a sermon yeah. on a big screen, have live worship, that sort of thing, and watch a pastor on a live screen. But again, it's back to that community. Is this my church? Is what the pastor saying resonating with me, because this is my church and I want to partner with this church, and this is where I have relationship and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Andy, don't you want to yell at those people in the first couple of rows? Hey, I'm right here. Hey, you can look
right
at me.
Here.
Yeah. Andy, we got about 90 seconds left. And if you've been disconnected from the church body or the church family and you've drifted away, any words of encouragement to those who might be listening today?
Yeah, I think, you know, give it another shot. And, you know, I mean, you know, do some research, ask some people, and look for a good Bible-believing church, you know, that's friendly, that's welcoming, that loves people, you know, that doesn't show favoritism, those sorts of things. Look for those key things, that they're centered on the gospel, and, you know, good theology, good sound theology, and when you walk in, you feel like you're loved and accepted, and, yeah, I think, you know, just don't give up on the church. You know, the church is filled with people. And like you said earlier in this discussion, I mean, you know, people are people.
Yeah.
And,
they can be messy.
They don't do things perfectly.
Yeah.
It's messy. Next
time I visit Fargo, I'm going to sit in that front row at your church and I'm going to look right at you, not even the screen. Andy, thanks for being a guest.
I'll yell at you.
Look forward to that. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
You bet. 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to take another whack at the discussion of the healthcare as that saga continues. So glad you're with us today. Be back in just a minute.